Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Episode of the Vinnie East Show, the show where the music never stops and the technical difficulties are a plague and the light of this world seems to shrink and vanish into some description of deep underground New Zealand-based bunker full of, you know, scary Nazi zombies who incidentally, you know, happened to be genetically engineered and invaded this country long, long ago. And are now ahead of the parliament. Now, my very special guest is James Bartlett, who is an alien abductee. He's exposed high levels of spiritual warfare, but nevertheless retains a positive, upbeat outlook on life, so he's a good fit for the show. He's an independent historian specializing in military history with an emphasis on intelligence, counterintelligence, and special operations. Now, one people might think that military intelligence is an oxymoron. James has studied the development of the intelligence and security apparatus, which is spawned by the Second World War and the OSS. And I always found funny how the OSS was just basically a couple of serpents and an all-seeing eye kind of logo. That was very interesting. It's like, that doesn't look like the Illuminati trying to take control of the United States and the Department of Defense at all, does it? No, not at all. Kind of like the MI5 and MI6 logos, which are basically just a pyramid all-seeing eye. And now, he's lectured in a number of places, including Memphis, Tennessee, and the state of Mississippi, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, San Diego, California, at the UFO Friendship Campouts near Area 51. Manning a sniper rifle, just in case anybody from the security forces comes and blows his head off. Las Vegas, Nevada, and Roswell, New Mexico, and just to name a few. He's also co-facilitated alien abduction and a MILAB, military abductions, support groups in San Diego, California, and in the high desert of Southern California. And he lived in notorious UFO hotspots in Southern and Northern California and the Tri-States region where Cali, Arizona, and Nevada meet. And is also a co-author along the way with many other noted researchers in a series of books called The Universal Seduction, which Barack Obama is a good follower of. That's why he managed to universally seduce everybody in the United States. And you think that they may be under some form of mind control when they suddenly seem to go mad. You know, have you noticed that the whole country seems to be going absolutely mad, and crimes just keep getting committed all the time. That are just like, what? You know, cutting your baby's limbs off, things like that. There's some real weird stuff going down in the United States, man. You know, personally, I blame the SSRI drugs, but I... James, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Vinny. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here. Thank you so much.
Well, with such a vast array of knowledge and interest in all of this, I'd love to hear your personal story of how this actually started all happening for you, your abduction story and what have you. Were you in the military? What?
I was a Navy brat, so I followed my parents from one naval air station to another. I basically grew up in a military family, and as a result, I was subjected at an early age to the Republican brainwashing, i.e. that everything that the Big Brother does is for the good, and basically we're always on the right side, and there's always a good reason to intervene in this, that, or the other country. And I basically fell along with that, but all the same, I was conducting my own research in ancient history, mythology, military history. I always had an interest in UFOs. And over the years, beginning at an early age, I always had unusual experiences, psychic phenomena, UFO sightings, what I later realized were alien abduction encounters, both in full waking consciousness and in the astral dreamscape, astral abductions. And I thought that it was normal. I thought that everyone had such experiences, and I was quite surprised later to find out that that wasn't the case, or at least that people may have been having them, just not talking about them. So I learned early on that all is not as it seems. Ironically, what woke me up out of my stupor and shunted me out of the false left-right paradigm was a series of alien abductions in 1990 after I had returned from Germany. I'd spent the summer in Germany. And as a result, I began going to UFO conferences, and sitting on a table was a heap of books. And I sidled over to the table, looked down. The first book I saw was Shadows of Power about the Council on Foreign Relations. I flipped through the book and I noticed, gee, all these Republicans and Democrats seem to be part of the Council on Foreign Relations. This explains everything. This is why nothing ever changes and things get progressively worse, because they all seem to be in on this globalist agenda.
And I believe that's why they call themselves progressives.
That's right. They progressively and gradually take away everyone's rights and gradually and progressively attain more power.
Can you think at any point that they've passed the law to give you more rights?
Well, that's what I try to tell people is, you would think once in a while the ball would bounce in our direction. Some piece of legislation would slip through the cracks and they would like just leave us alone in some little small segment of our lives. But of course, that's never the case. It's full spectrum dominance. The food is tainted. The air we breathe is chem sprayed, fluoridation, the lot. It's full spectrum dominance. It's all out assaults on the human immune system, on the DNA, and on our very souls, which is what I'm here to talk about. So as far as learning what I call the surface level manipulation was all about, surface level, i.e. the outward manifestations of the reptilian overlordship, which people refer to as the New World Order, Illuminati, so on and so forth, that book, Shadows of Power, really opened my eyes. And then from there, I realized, well, there are really no good guys or bad guys. These are opposames, as David Icke calls them. There is no difference. It's an illusion of choice. And it's ironic, and I tell people, well, I woke up to the New World Order because aliens are abducting me. That's how that came along.
Yeah. Well, I find it's amazing how many different ways you can wake up to the New World Order, because the New World Order controls everything.
This is true. It's all pervasive.
Mm. How do you overthrow something that is holding up everything?
Well, what I encourage people to look into is the deeper aspects of all this. This is why I do handstands and I, you know, jump for joy when I hear David Icke talk about the nature of consciousness and how this controlling factor is intentionally muting consciousness to the point where so many people are feeble-minded and slow-witted. And there is more to the New World Order. I mean, the symbology that's all around us hints at something much deeper and darker. What these entities have done is they have worked through, by genetic intervention, these ruling hybrid bloodlines, which I call the David Icke hypothesis, because he popularized the whole concept. Although many of us knew this was going on, no one could have done a better job than David Icke putting it out to the masses. These reptilian entities have infiltrated the human race. They've corrupted the gene pool through genetic manipulation. They've imbued their loathsome characteristics of aggression, territoriality, sadism, so on and so forth, into large masses of the gene pool. And through these elite hybrid bloodlines, who are essentially the plantation managers of this planet, they've imposed all these changes and all these laws, and at the same time, they've muted human consciousness through their educational system, through the general dumbing down process, fluoride vaccines, so on and so forth. And I encourage people to look at the bigger picture, because if one were to omit UFOs and non-human intelligences from a study of the New World Order, they are omitting the key facet of it. It is, for one thing, it's non-scientific, because these forces, these intelligences have been with us all along. It's reflected in the art. It's reflected in ancient texts, in literature. So to just dismiss out of hand all any suggestion that there's a non-human intelligence behind all this is not only non-scientific, it's non-historical. And once again, these same ruling bloodlines have controlled the education system. So by and large, people don't know the history of this planet. They don't know the history of the human race. They don't know that the humans have been around for a very long time. Forbidden Archaeology by Michael Cremo and Richard Thompson, absolute must reading. What's happening now is the reptilian overlords are shooting for the works. They're pulling out all the stops because they know that they are working against a celestial timetable. These cataclysms, celestially driven cataclysms, are cyclical. They come around every 12,500 years thereabouts. The reptilian overlords and their hybrid minions, who are the plantation managers, know we are on the cusp of all these radical earth changes, and they are getting their control grid in place. They've been working on depopulation for some time. They know there will be a mass culling and a consequent release of many souls, because once again, that's what this is all about, souls and DNA. And they're getting everything in place. And it's important for us to realize that it's more than just power-mad bankers and industrialists and financiers we're up against, that there is a malign influence working through the top levels of the elite, as well as a lot of their middle-level and lower-level minions. But ultimately,
is there anything,
this agenda...
Is there anything above that? You know, like people have talked about these archons, reptilian entities, aliens, and so on and so forth. Is there anything above them, I wonder?
Yes. Yes, there is. When I think of the term archons, the Gnostic description of these malign influences, I see it kind of as an umbrella catch-all term. Different types of negative ETs are part of this archontic influence, as are the reptilians. There are snake entities that not many people know exist, and these snake entities take up other entities as hosts. They take up reptilians as hosts. They take up mantis beings as hosts. They take up human beings as hosts. So it's parasites within parasites within parasites. These archontic beings are essentially parasitic in nature. It is all about energetic harvesting. It is a frequency war. We humans are resonators. We emit frequencies, and it behooves these archontic negative beings to keep us at a low vibratory ebb, a low negative frequency, and they do this constantly by bombarding us with
sex,
mass media,
drugs,
entrainment,
rock and roll,
BS, sex, drugs, the fear, and one of the key facets of control was shunting us from the right hemisphere to the left hemisphere of our brain. We must regain that balance between masculine and feminine. What happened in a nutshell was, after the most recent series of cataclysms 12,500 years ago, if you're familiar with Dr. Paul Laviolette's work, the galactic superwave emanating from the galactic center. We're in alignment with the galactic center again, the dark rift, as the Maya call it. And the tail end of that came the passage of one or more very large comets. And if you're familiar with Dr. James McCanney's work, the plasma comet discharge model, we don't have to be hit by these comets. They emit tremendous electrical discharges. They push before them a large gravitational wave. So long story short, after the Earth settled into its new axis and the survivors came out of the caves, these reptilian entities took the opportunity of genetically manipulating the smaller group of surviving humans. Most, if not all, of the advanced human and alien civilizations that were on the surface of the Earth, and remember, the Egyptians talk about how their civilization is actually 36,000 years old. It was a legacy. There were no more of these advanced civilizations on the surface to contend with, because it either left, went underground, or got destroyed. Atlantis is an example. So there was a smaller group of surviving humans, which they then genetically manipulated. And then in the process, they also foisted these harsh patriarchal monotheistic religions. They imposed alphabet languages, symbol languages, which shunted us from the right symbolic intuitive side to the left side. And with alphabet language come scribes, come laws, come a form of control which can be passed down generationally. And so that brings us up to the present, where you have these people that pass out of university that are just complete dolts and really don't know which way is up. And people that are shunted into the left hemisphere brain can be made to do and believe anything. They can be made to hate. The easiest thing to do is to make people in large numbers hate or fear anything. And so it's a vibratory ebb of fear, anger, hatred that's being pumped into us constantly. A fear of want, of austerity, a fear of starvation, artificial scarcity, the whole bit. And so David Icke talks about this a lot. So we are constantly on the defensive. And when we are in this low vibratory ebb, individually and as a society, it makes it much easier for these archontic beings to parasitically feed off of us.
Yeah, okay, well, we're coming up to a break very shortly here. You know, it occurs to me, Voltaire once said, if people can make you believe absurdities, they can make you commit atrocities. And you have a look around at the world, it's pretty atrocious. We'll be right back with James Bartley, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you go anywhere. Back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And you can also listen live on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. There's a little play button somewhere on there. And I encourage people to listen to the show live. If you're in New Zealand, 10 a.m. is the time we go live, baby. Oh, yes. And after this show today as well, I'll be going on Janice Barcello's show on, I think, another network. I forget which. I don't know. I'll update you as time goes on. And my very special guest is James Bartley. And I was wondering, whereabouts were you born, mate?
Well, I was born at Subic Bay Naval Base in the Republic of the Philippines. My dad was a Navy guy and eventually moved to Texas, California for a long time, eventually moved to Arizona. So most of my time I was living in California, Northern and especially Southern California. And that's what allowed me to go to all these places like the high desert of Southern California. There's a lot of UFO, reptilian, military activity. It's a prime place to live, to see all this activity.
And do you believe the military has been working with these entities?
Yes, absolutely, because there were two parallel streams at work. You have the ancient fraternal orders, which were kind of offshoot of the astronomer priest who probably, at least some of them, with good intentions, tried to bring forward the ancient stellar wisdom after this latest series of cataclysms. They're the ones that put all the megalithic sites up over a lot of the ley line, dragon line vortexes, so on and so forth. A lot of those temples, as you know, they're built right above ley lines. So there is probably a sincere effort to bring forth some of this knowledge into the future. But what happened, as in so many other cases, is these elite reptilian bloodlines essentially took over a lot of these fraternal orders. And so all along, within the highest levels of these fraternal orders, there was an understanding that there were non-human intelligences at work, working through them. There was always the means to interact with non-human intelligence, whether they were subterranean, whether extraterrestrial, whether they were interdimensional. I must say at this point that there has been efforts to create fault lines in UFO research. Jacques Vallée was a past master of this. He was saying, oh no, there's no such thing as extraterrestrials. It's all interdimensional. But when one has an understanding of what mystics, seers, adepts, yogis, so on and so forth have said for ages, the ether, an understanding of the ether, then you will know that there is no difference between interdimensional and extraterrestrial. Some entities are both. It's all about frequency and resonance, as Tesla said. Nowadays, physicists contort themselves in all kinds of uncomfortable positions to avoid saying that five-letter word, the ether. They use words like quantum entanglement, quantum non-locality, action at a distance. But what they're really talking about is the ether. Anyone who has astral traveled knows that distance is instantaneous, whether they're remotely viewing or astral traveling towards a place on this plane or in another plane or another dimension. So I must point that out. There is no, with these advanced beings and with these spiritual beings, there is no division between here or there or other planes, and distances. So you had this underground stream of esoteric, occulted knowledge, ancient stellar wisdom. And when the crash retrievals began happening, most famously Roswell, but Roswell was not the first. It certainly wasn't the last. What happened was, there was a back engineering effort to understand the technology, the physics behind the technology. But all along, there was this occulted stream of wisdom where these adepts knew how to open portals. They knew how to astral travel. They knew how to remote view. They knew how to interact with non-human intelligence, both underground, extraterrestrial, and from other dimensions. And they merged with the back engineering effort to understand the technology and the physics behind the technology of these alien craft. What we have is a lot of these
what's difficult to me is a lot of people won't understand even the context in which we're thinking. I mean, they think remote viewing is watching television.
Yes, but there's always these older terms that decide what goes on now, like channeling used to be referred to as transmediumship in the spiritualist days. Some people say clairvoyance is a form of remote viewing. Well, what they've done in the military today and the intelligence community is they've taken these innate abilities that people have, because within human DNA are elements of DNA from not just one, but a number of different ET races. And the morphic resonance and spiritual ancestral memory has passed on from these other ET races through this DNA. And there is latent metaphysical abilities in this DNA. And so you have all these shamans and yogis with all these abilities. These abilities have existed all along. They're not unusual. It's just that we've been taught that such things are nonsense and don't exist. But of course, in these secret orders and also in the indigenous cultures, which they've tried very hard to wipe out, by the way, these kinds of abilities are the norm. So they've weaponized everything. They've weaponized remote viewing. They've weaponized astral travel. Mm-hmm. So getting back to your original point, the the technology that was recovered through these various crash retrievals went into the Deep Black special access programs. And out of that was created this hyper security state. Long before 9/11, there was this cosmic cover-up. And I must point out that the reason so many truthers in what I in the liberty movement, people who are only well versed in what I call surface level stuff, the reason they dismiss UFOs and extraterrestrials and whatnot out of hand is because they've been brainwashed. In 1953, the CIA convened the Robertson Panel, run by H.P. Robertson. He was a doctor who oversaw a lot of weapons exploitation programs derived from the, from recovering Nazi weaponry in World War II. And he put a panel together to deal with the subject of UFOs. 6 months before, in July 1952, Washington, D.C. was inundated with UFO sightings, which resulted in the largest post-war military press conference ever, where the Air Force tried to explain away all these sightings as temperature inversions. But this created mass hysteria. So 6 months later, the CIA convened the Robertson Panel, and the upshot of the Robertson Panel was we must minimize public interest, indeed hysteria, about this subject, because back then the media was much more forthcoming about UFO-related information. So the CIA instituted a program of debunking UFO sightings with paid quackademics, basically, and ridiculing the witnesses of UFO sightings with the media.
It's and become incredibly that, effective to the point where a qualified Navy pilot who has 50,000 hours flight time or whatever sees a cigar-shaped object that is hundreds of meters long flying alongside him. It's on radar, and he reports this, and the media says, and it's reflected light off of swamp gas or something. And the public are so easily mind-controlled that they believe it. Something so absurd as that.
Yes. And, you know, what's disappointing to me, and I think we're starting to see a sea change here, but what's disappointing to me is so many truthers, i.e., you know, people in the liberty movement, they fall right into that because we just love to ridicule people, don't we? We just love to laugh at someone at someone else's expense. Oh, look, the lonely, friendless kid is being bullied. Let's all laugh at him. Better thee than me, right? So,
I like to call people the word scum.
Well, I love your term scumbaggery, by the way. I'm going to use that if that's okay. What you have is all these truthers who have fallen right into this debunking and ridiculing mindset, throwaway lines like Project Bluebeam. No such project ever existed. The NSA and CIA weren't around thousands of years ago mind-controlling people into thinking they were having a religious mystical vision. Okay, that was all non-human inspired. That's how religions were formed, controlling custodial religions. One of the most important books ever written was Gods of Eden by William Bramley, because he goes through the whole history of the ET non-human influence throughout throughout conspiracy history. This is a subject which cannot be left out of the equation.
It's mind control,
art,
really.
Literature, it's mind control.
That's what religion was originally instituted in order to control the masses, control people's minds. And I came up with a realization yesterday, and I want to do this to a crowd of people. Everybody, raise your hands if you've never suspected that you are a mind control slave. And, you know, a couple of people will raise your hands. All right, now, everybody, you've now clearly identified the mind control slaves in your midst.
That's true. That's absolutely true. And custodial religions, as William Bramley calls that, custodial religions created by these non-human entities is where so much of this started, where so much of the strife and warfare and hatred has been carried forth through the ages. So that's what's happened is there was a merging of the Deep Black recovered technology, and also it's one of the reasons why Jacques Vallée, in my view, a disinformation artist, he wrote great books, Passport to Magonia, Dimensions, talking about how this non-human influence has been with us throughout history. But then he spun it out by saying, oh, there's no extraterrestrials, only interdimensional, because by doing so, he neatly sidesteps the hardware aspect of all this. Because Roswell, Kecksburg, Pennsylvania, 65, Aztec, New Mexico, 48, these were the actual crash retrievals of alien technology. And by sidestepping all that and saying it's all interdimensional, you neatly kind of blow off any suggestion that hardware actually exists. And so these aerospace corporations, that at one time there was only a handful of aircraft companies, all of which in the beginning were funded with seed money from the Rothschilds, incidentally. I mean, all of them, Lockheed, you name it. They were all originally financed, just like the railroads were financed, just like the steel industry in America was financed by the Rothschilds. So from the very beginning, this reptilian hybrid bloodline controlled what morphed into the aerospace corporations. And now the aerospace corporations are really in control of this technology. The military retrieves it initially with living and some dead and sometimes living ETs. And they do the initial analysis, but eventually, like everything else, it falls into the into private corporate hands. And then they make all these decisions on a grand scale. Now, Ben Rich is one of the most important eyewitnesses who's come forward. You probably know about this story, but for the benefit of your listeners who are not familiar with the story, Ben Rich was the late director of Lockheed Skunk Works, the advanced development division of Lockheed. They're the ones who create a lot of the so-called next generation craft, hypersonic vehicles, and especially craft based on electrogravitics, field propulsion, anti-gravity, much of it derived from a study and analysis of recovered alien craft. And Ben Rich, in what amounted to a deathbed confession, said, yes, UFOs exist, both man-made and ET-owned, and that the military have been traveling the stars for a long time, and that he said we have small fleets of these craft, which are based on ET technology. I would say we have large fleets of them, because I've seen many of these so-called alien replicated vehicles myself. And his statement about the military already traveling the stars, and that we have the ability to take ET home, he said that there was a fault in the equations. We made that correction, and now we understand everything. I'm paraphrasing. And he said something else that was very critically important, too. He said that the technology is based on ESP, that all time and space is one. This is exactly what seers, adepts, yogis, et cetera, have been saying for ages, that it all has to do with this interconnectedness. And we're all taught by the system that everything is all about separation, isolation, fear of the other, right? But there's an interconnectedness to all of it. Now, unfortunately, this technology and what Richard Dolan refers to as the breakaway civilization, where they literally are their own civilization with their own understanding of cosmology, their own understanding of real physics, they've kind of branched off. They suck in all this money and resources from the surface world, and they conduct all these operations. So not only fast forwarding to the present time, there is an ongoing interaction with deep black elements of the military aerospace community and non-human intelligences, because when they began developing all these underground bases, they realized, surprise, surprise, there are already civilizations and beings beneath the ground that have been there all along. The mining industry have known about these beings for a long time. In England, hundreds of years ago, they made people sign what amounted to non-disclosure statements when they were working in mining companies, in case they saw something weird and scary underground. So this has been going on all along.
Yeah, indeed. And what I find very interesting is that there's interconnections with so many different topics, entities, sensor technology, crowd control, that kind of thing. You know, one uses an anti-gravity device to escape the planet, while the other uses an anti-levity device to stop the protesters having fun with them. We'll be right back after the break at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
Come gather around, people.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. I was just thinking about this, you know, like the next generation of crowd control. They've got these sound cannons or whatever that scream out this, and then like all the protesters, you know, with their moth-eaten cardigans and their and V for Vendetta masks, you know, just like go down on the ground like, it's exploding my eardrum places. And, you know, I was just thinking about this. Bunch of cops roll in and their big thug-like gear and stuff like that. And they say to the crowd, "We have the moral authority here. We have the moral high ground." The whole crowd just starts laughing at them. And we have authority. You must obey us because authority must be obeyed. The whole crowd laughs at them again. And it's like, "Corporal, hit him with the anti-levity device." Suddenly it's not that funny anymore. You know, that'd be great. The anti-levity device crowd control weapon. It actually literally shoot people with a beam of something that stops them from enjoying themselves. Imagine the power. All right, a very special guest is James Bartley. What do you reckon? Do you reckon an anti-levity weapon would be, you know, one of the new methods of terrorism or something like that? You know.
Well, we've seen the inverse of that, where humor is used as a weapon. You look at the presidential primaries of 2008, how all the Republican mainliners were instructed whenever Ron Paul said anything, whenever Ron Paul said boo, right, they were all instructed just laugh hysterically, ha, 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 giggle, giggle, giggle. When Dennis Kucinich was mocked in a presidential a meeting, they mentioned that Kucinich had a UFO sighting, and right on cue, everybody laughed. Ha, ha, ha. It's the funniest thing. And so, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me that...
Did they call them mainliners because they're all freaking addicted to heroin?
Well, yeah, they're addicted to power, and some of them probably are druggies and smackies, I'm sure.
Think about the House of Congress. How many of these people are on psychoactive medications or something like that, you know, just sitting there amongst all of these other psychopaths who also can't think or feel or anything like that, popping a Prozac so they can actually tolerate it, wash it down with some Starburst and some Diet Coke?
That is a fundamental, this whole pharmacological psychiatric tyranny is a fundamental aspect of control, because these SSRIs, not only do they destroy cognitive function, but they literally lower the vibratory ebb of the person and make it easier for entities to form an entity attachment and eventually take them up as a host, because that is the fundamental building block of the reptilian overlordship, is by inserting enough of their DNA into the population in general, but these key elite bloodlines in particular, these hybrid people.
Can I stop you there for a second?
Yeah, sure.
Key elite bloodlines. Can you rattle off some names?
The royalty, so-called, the Rothschilds, the House of Windsor, the royal European bloodlines, but the elite all over the world, in China, the people, because what these entities do is they guide them through the whole system. They're kind of pushed and prodded on their way up. Someone could be like a bastard offshoot of an elite bloodline, like the Rockefellers or Rothschilds or whatever the case may be. But there's always a guiding hand to move them through, and they wind up being in high finance. They wind up being in the media, whatever the case may be. So these are the types. But you see them at all strata of society. There's control freaks and sociopaths everywhere you go. Because what the DNA manipulation leads to is a lot of people who are outwardly human, but they have a genetic and a spiritual predisposition to be taken up as a host by these entities. And what I try to get people to think
saying
about
that is, are you saying that there's a sort of like a family relationship between people who get abducted/slash possessed?
Absolutely, because you look at the old term, familiar spirit, family being the operative part of that familiar spirit, because people are trapped generationally. They're abducted in families, generation after generation after generation. And these entities, because the reptilians use a lot of other entities to do their bidding for them, a lot of the heavy lifting, but you always hear about the Greys, and there's different factions of Greys, Mantis being so on and so forth. They actually work.
Are these all the same things? Like, you know, I hear people talk about Greys, Archons, Demons, Djinn, Mind Parasites. Are they all the same thing or what?
There are, I believe there are expressions of the same thing, of this archontic influence. Just like you and I, are, most everyone is an expression of creation. This is a plane of dualities, and the dualities are becoming more extreme by the nanosecond. So people, are, if you notice, are getting more crazy, or they're becoming more grounded, more centered. And even very metaphysically, spiritually grounded people are having challenging times right now because the sun's going crazy and frequencies are increasing. This is why they're really pulling out all the stops, blasting us with discordant frequencies in the music and beaming us electromagnetically and with cell phone towers and so on and so forth, chem spraying us. So what happens is these entities take up these people who have a genetic predisposition to being a host. And what I like to tell people are serial murderers and child molesters are garden variety versions of the perps and pedos that pollute places like Bohemian Grove, Bilderberg, so on and so forth. Because if you look at like a serial murderer, just as you hear biologists and engineers talk about how form follows function, where serial murders are concerned, psychology follows neurology, which follows genetics. These serial murderers lack frontal lobe capacity. Frontal lobe capacity is our impulse control net. It's what keeps us from acting out impulsively and doing crazy things. And what they've done is scientists have done studies on serial killers, one of them in particular, Joel Rifkin, and they found out that not only do they have are lacking in frontal lobe capacity, but they don't really have control of their extremities, their limbs, their hands, and their body in general. This is a deadly combination because just as mediums and shamans get these downloads, spiritual downloads of insight of someone's past lives or their own past lives, so on and so forth, what these entities do is they download sadistic imagery nonstop into these serial killers, and they play them endlessly in their minds, and they're forced to act out on them. But and because they have...
When you dream, for example, the body secretes a hormone into your body to paralyze you so that you don't act out your dreams. Is this kind of like the opposite of that, where they are actually really starting to act them out? They don't have control of it.
It's a twofold process because in their waking consciousness, a lot of times they will hear like a loud, high-pitched tone in their ear or what sounds like a metallic kind of crunching sound. And then the sadistic imagery starts of torturing women, of killing women, of molesting children. And then when they're asleep, what happens is it's what I call astral dreamscape manipulation, the bait and switch tactic. And if I had more time, I would go into the dynamics and the details of this. But in short, what happens is the entities, they push into the sleeping hybrid, the person they're trying to turn into a serial killer, let's say. And oftentimes they already are taken up or there's already an entity attachment within them. And what they do is once they're inside this sleeping person, they first eroticize their dreams. They make it seem this kind of adult content. I won't go into graphic detail, but they make it seem as if they're about to engage in intercourse with a very attractive woman. And just as they're about to engage in intercourse with this woman, they are sodomized from behind by this reptilian entity. And the person wakes up thinking, oh, that's a strange dream. You know, they just kind of blow it off. But then it happens repetitively, where just as they're about to have intercourse, because it's a parallel psychological manipulation, the virtual environment they find themselves in, but the entities also trigger the arousal mechanism.
Sounds,
so,
That sounds remarkably similar to MKUltra mind control programs work with the sensory deprivation and the bait and switching kind of thing. And that way you can actually split the personality of certain individuals in order to create one personality for, you know, say public life and one personality for private life or military control, super soldiers, etc.
Yeah, so the original mind controllers were these non-human archontic beings, and also the priesthoods and fraternal orders that they worked through.
And ever since Operation Paperclip, we've had like what 10,000 plus psych warfare Nazi scientists working with the CIA and then goodness knows where else.
Yes, because so many of these people that have been turned into serial murderers or people born into satanic covens, it's not only this familiar spirit archontic influence tracks them generationally, and they will even go to the trouble of arranging unions, even one-off one-night stands, just so a particular child is born and another offshoot branch of that particular bloodline is created. What happens is, through all this multi-generational abuse, disassociation occurs, and that creates holes in the auric field. It allows these negative entities to create strongholds in people. I would say that there is no such thing as purely human mind control, because these seemingly human mind controllers themselves have this archontic malign influence working through them.
Yeah. Well, it can't be a human mind control program if all the people in the mind control program that are controlling it are really inhuman.
Is that right? Absolutely.
Okay, well, we're coming to break now. We'll be back shortly, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, James Bartley's website is The Universal's
Universal Seduction.
The Universal Seduction.
Bartley, Universal Seduction. You'll find it.
Yeah. I thought it was the Universal's Education for a second there. Yeah. I almost got that right. All right, we'll be right back. It's not too far off from the truth, is it? We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com with James Bartley. Don't you go anywhere, folks.